What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You're listening to 100 Words or Less with Ray Harkins.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for downloading this podcast, and thank you for spending time with people who care about independent music, punk, hardcore, metal, emo, indie rock, whatever it is, whatever bucket you want to put it in, as long as it comes from the whole DIY, small, sweaty rooms, just jumping over each other, or I was about to say skanking, but I don't really endorse skanking. I mean, I endorse like skanking, like, you know, circle jerks scenario stuff, but the other skanking that, you know, I unfortunately witnessed many, many times during the Orange County third wave of ska, it's a dark period of my life. But regardless, I'm not going to sit here and judge those of you that like ska, because that's fine. That's totally good. But I digress. I have a great discussion this week with a stand-up comedian. His name is Neil Rubenstein. He just put out a record on Equal Vision Records called Have Some Dignity that he recorded, last year, I think, in, I was going to say the Bell House, but no, that's not right. It's, in Montclair, New Jersey. So yeah, in 2023, actually. Yeah, that is last year, because we're in 2024. Holy moly, a little disorganized. But Neil Rubenstein, not only is he an extremely funny dude, but he is so down for the core, because he actually sang for a band that I really, really enjoyed in the 90s called Sons of Abraham. One of the, like, I really can't think of any other, like, Jewish hardcore bands, you know, like, where their message is completely built around that, you know, religion and identity. And Sons of Abraham, like, dude, I mean, them and Indecision, like, once they started to pop off in the New York City scene, I couldn't get enough of that. And Sons of Abraham was a band that existed for, I mean, they only put out one LP, Termites in a Smile, which, of course, the fact that I can just, like, name that off the top of my head sometimes makes me sad, but also gets me really excited, because I remember just dumb information. I'm sure you're the same way too. But anyways, Neil is a funny dude. I had to have him on because obviously he was promoting his stand-up special, but the idea of bridging the gap between, you know, what a comedian's life is like and a touring band's life is like, it's basically one and the same, except maybe you're a little bit lonelier as a stand-up comedian because you're not traveling with, you know, 3, 4, 5 other people. But Neil was a great hang, and he has a lot of interesting stories, and yeah, I just had to have him on. So that's what we did. And you, you right there. I'm pointing at you in the back of the room. Maybe you just ducked in. This is your first time listening to the show. It's totally fine. Welcome. Come on in. Take a seat and just hang out for about an hour. But you can support the show. First of all, you can reach out to me personally. I receive these emails and I read them. I respond to them. I soak them in. You can email me 100wordspodcast@gmail.com. That's the number 100. And love to hear feedback in regards to guest ideas and everything else that you may be curious about. On top of that, if you want to support the show for absolutely free, $0, it's going to take you maybe a minute tops of your day. Just go to the Apple Podcast page, leave a rating, and if you want to write a sentence or two as far as a review is concerned, helps out the algorithm, validate the show, be like, yo, this thing is legit, it's cool, peace sign, let's go. Or if you want to dip into the Spotify page, all you need to do is leave a star rating. All of those things help tremendously in ways that I can't even begin to explain in less than 2 minutes because I will bore you to death. And I don't want to do that. But what I do want to do, how about that transition? You know, just like a professional broadcaster. I've talked about some shows I recently attended. Saw the Paint It Black West Coast tour. They played with Dangers and Entry. And I missed the first band, Sweat, who's really, really good. But I just missed them because I was late. But Paint It Black, it was my first time seeing them. Even though they've existed for many, many years, I was so excited to see Dan Yeaman up there, Jared, the drummer, just a great dude. And watching them play made me really happy. And then Dangers. I actually forgot how much I like Dangers. And Dangers is an incredible band. Love Al Brown. Had him on the show many, many years ago. I can't even remember when. Or maybe I'm just misremembering. But it was a great show. It was at Chain Reaction. Love it. And what else did I do? Oh, yeah. There's a... I'm going to be going to a local hardcore show, which always gets me excited when I'm able to, you know, just watch like a bunch of like local Orange County hardcore bands. Back to Godhead, a band called Greed Culture, a band called No Plan. That's going to be happening in like about a week or so. Anyways, I love going to shows. I'm also seeing a band, Hot Mulligan. I'm seeing them on today, Tuesday, when I'm recording this, and I'm excited about that. So just go to shows, you know, like you don't have to go 3 or 4 nights a week, maybe just go once or twice a month, you know, support whatever scene it is you're supporting. So anyways, let's talk about weekly recommendations. I've been doing this every week since 2024, and I just want to continue that trend as we're talking about very good music, very good records. Today is actually a specific song, which I know is very granular, but if you are familiar with Mike Kinsella, who was in, you know, Captain Jazz, he was also his brother was in Joan of Arc. I always put all the Kinsellas together, but Mike also plays in American Football, but he also plays a solo project called Owen. And they released a new song. They, as in he, released a new song called Buku. It's BEAUCOUP. Buku, like merci beaucoup. I've never said that word like out loud, seriously. But it's off of the record that's coming up soon, being released on Polyvinyl, called The Falls of Sioux. But this song, Buku, holy crap. Like, I have just rinsed this song on repeat, and it is so incredibly intoxicating. I've always found Mike's work in general to be just beautiful, like tugs in your heartstrings, does everything that, you know, a sort of quiet indie rock, emotional rock record, or whatever you want to call it, should do. But just the fact that Mike can be like this deep in his music life and just have songs that really, really still land. It just, not only does it make me happy, because obviously the idea as we go through life is that we get, you know, better at stuff. And sometimes there's this, you know, waxing nostalgic thing that happens with music, especially of the independent variety, where it's just like, oh yeah, the demo is the best. I mean, I know, you know, I'm being, you know, hyperbolic or pejorative or whatever, where it's like that saying just, you know, rings true, but it's not ring true for many artists, including Owen. So please listen to that song. I will include a link in the show notes to where you can listen to all of the things that I've been digging this past year. And that way you can listen to your heart's content. And don't take my word for it. Take your word for it and listen to it. So yeah, link in the show notes. Let's talk to Neil. I have links in the show notes in regards to, you know, his newest stand-up special. Like I said, they got released on Equal Vision Records about a month and a half or so ago. It's really funny. totally worth your time investing in. And let's talk to Neil about comedy and 90s hardcore, because that's what we do here. In my mind, you've been the person, like, I'm 43 years old, so definitely grew up in the 90s hardcore scene. And Sons of Abraham was a band for me that I discovered and was like, oh yeah, like a Jewish hardcore band. Like, that's sick. Like, I myself am not Jewish, but like, you know, just completely. And I loved the fact that bands obviously were able to attach themselves to a very specific point of view in the way that Krishna obviously did as well. But anyways, the point being is that, you know, I was aware of you from that side of things and know that, you know, you traveled in and around with bands like, you know, Taking Back Sunday, et cetera, et cetera. But then it, my absolute ignorance where it's like, oh, I didn't even know you did comedy. And it was like it, up until like, you know, when Equal Vision obviously was going to put out your stuff. And I was like, oh, like that's cool. And then obviously looking at the world that you have been building on the comedy side of things, I presume – just based on like what I know about you, I presume it's really fun for you to be able to obviously do the comedy stuff, but be able to bring in all of your friends from the music world, either, you know, whether it's Dubin taking photos of you or whatever, like to be able to bring them along for the comedy ride, even though they may not, you know, have a strong affinity for, I mean, your comedy, yes, but not like, oh yeah, I'm a comedy head since the 40s or whatever.
Yeah, 100%. I love everything about that. Like, you know, I mean, I was just on the phone with Dubin, and he was like, it's like, and he got like a little, he got a little gay about it. And he was like, oh, you know, I'm so glad 30 years later we're still doing cool shit together. And it's like, yeah, man, that is fucking cool. Like we made these lifelong friends by accident, you know? And it's like, yeah, I love that, like, I get to do that. And I just posted the other day, like, I posted a thing where it's like, it's a photo someone took from the back of the room at a show, like a headlining show I just did. And, like, the last, the two shirts in focus is, like, a Smorgasbord XXX shirt, like, straight edge, like, European.
Beautiful, thing. Yeah.
And then I forget the other shirt was, like, also a hardcore shirt. And I was like, I love that, like, this is what's coming out to see me. You know what I mean? Like, dudes who, like, did record labels or, like, you know, I was joking with someone. I was like, all the women at my shows, like, oh, I saw you open for, parentheses, emo band, close parentheses. And all the dudes at my shows are, like, just a different version of me that's like, ah, so I'm, you know, I'm here because I... you know, listen to Sons or I listen to these enzymes or whatever, you know, and it's like, yeah, man, it's fucking cool. Like,
yeah, no, it is. And I find it, and I know that it took a person like, I mean, basically this podcast is just a, you know, rip off of obviously what Marin has been doing for the past, you know, whatever, but obviously just specifically focused on, you know, the independent music world, as it were. But it took me a long time to kind of be able to connect the dots between the comedy world, the independent wrestling world, the, you know, punk rock world, where I was like, oh, all of these are literally exactly the same thing, begging people to show up at a place where a lot of sweat will be poured out in whatever version. But it's like everybody
– dominated field.
Right. Totally. And it was like a light bulb went off where it was like, oh, we were all existing, you know, whatever, pre-internet, existing in these weird subcultures of just traveling around the country. And it wasn't until, you know, much later where people were able to like show those crossover influences, exactly what you're talking about, where it's like, oh yeah, like I saw you open up for Motion City Soundtrack and be like, oh wow, I never thought about stand-up comedy in relation to band life or whatever.
Yeah, like, I mean, I remember, like, when CM Punk, like, started, like, getting, like, huge, and it was like, this dude's, like, a hardcore kid? Like, what's up with, like, that's so weird, you know? And now it's like, yeah, like, every wrestler, it's like, they have incendiaries that walk on music, or, like, you know, like, right. It, like, everywhere you look, it's like, it's a hardcore crossover, and it's like, yeah, it's just like, it just makes sense, like, subcultures find each other, you know?
When did you, I guess, make the connection between, you know, the comedy world, obviously like the punk and hardcore world? I mean, I know you were pursuing comedy, you know, sort of, you know, not after your independent music life, because clearly you still care about it because that's all you wear from a banter perspective. But like, when did you make that? When did you make that connection yourself? Be like, oh, like we are just doing similar versions of a different thing.
I think once I started touring, once I realized that I wasn't gonna get the things that I needed to get good in the region I lived, I was like, I have to go out. I have to go out in the world. And like, the only thing I know about going out in the world is punk rock, is like, just get in the van and like crash at a friend's house and like call a stranger and be like, hey, we have like one thing in common. Is that enough to have you like be my advocate in your community? And for some reason, punk and hardcore seem to be enough for most people.
Mm-hmm.
Right before we started recording, I told you that story about Columbus, Ohio, and like just total strangers being cool because we were both punk kids. And like, I don't know who they were, and I still don't know who they were, you know, but it was like, it didn't matter. Like, oh, you like punk rock? I like punk rock. Yo, let's do this thing. Let's whatever you need. Look, my couch is your couch. You need a shower, you need a bowl of spaghetti, like whatever. And right. So I just reached out to those same people, basically. Like, I would reach out to my buddy Matt in Atlanta and be like, hey, man, I need to find other places to get on stage. Like, can I crash with you for like a week or two while I explore that scene and see what's out there? And then just, you know, drive to Atlanta and then drive to Richmond and drive to, you know, wherever I knew people, stayed on couches and like spare rooms and air mattresses and like just like I did when I was 19 and just right. Like, you know, just went to see like, yo, like what's your scene like? Where's the cool punk venue? Where's the cool open mic? Where's the cool bar show? Where's the cool showcase? Who are the cool comics? Like, who are the people that I can vibe with? Like, who are the, you know, open-minded enough to accept me, you know? And, like, mm-hmm. you find it because we were brought up that way. We were, like, taught to know where to look.
Right. You know? Well, and to your point, I think the, you know, build or find your own culture – like that's obviously been embedded within the context of punk and hardcore, where it's like if you don't have a local scene, you know, create it no matter how small it may be. But I never thought about it in terms of what you're talking about, where it's like literally pulling up to a city and, you know, getting a vibe of it over a week and a half. I mean, because obviously band tour life is like you just roll through a city for 12 hours and then you're gone. But I like that idea of you just being like, let me spend some time here, find out what's happening, find out if they mess with me, and then be able to kind of, you know, learn from those experiences. That's really cool.
Yeah. It was that band Bad Moves.
Okay.
They have that song Party with the Kids That Wanna Party with You.
Yep.
And like, I couldn't live my life more to that
right.
sentiment. Like, find the people that want to fuck with you. Like,
yep.
they're going to be out there. You know,
you just have to
get emotional right now.
No. Well, I think it is. I mean, I know you've shared this in other, you know, interview spaces of the idea that like you knew you were never destined for a, you know, desk job or something that is quote unquote more typical. And so because of that, you know, live this like pirate-esque life of just, you know, of finding those spots and finding those people. But I like it when that's really, you know, whether there's five people there or whether there's 50 people there, like you're happy because, I mean, yes, of course you're happy if there's more people there because you're connecting with more, but it's just that premise of like, well, I have to go out and do the work in order to bring these people to me because, you know, they won't just find me magically on TikTok or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a tough, realization of what's happening now is you really need the robots to connect you. Whereas 20 years ago, I think you worked harder to find what you wanted to consume.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like, 20 years ago, you just read the liner notes of a 7-inch and, like, then you just bought all those 7-inches. And then, you know, you went to a basement show and you got a flyer for another basement show. And you didn't have to know what those bands were. You recognized fonts. And you were like, oh, I'm going to go to this one too. And maybe find 5 new favorite bands. Now, I think, although it is... And I'm not being like, oh, the good old days. Like, I'm not.
Right.
Everything has its merit. I understand, adapt, figure it out. But I will say it was easier to find the like-mindedness back then, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like a clearer picture.
I think, obviously us, you know, old man on the porch, like talking about how things used to be, but like, I think the difference that I've noticed, and I agree with you, where it's, you can discover things and you can find things obviously very, very easily. And like you said, algorithms help with that. Like all of that is good. But the thing is it's devoid of context. Like you as a comedian that are coming across people's, you know, TikTok feeds or Instagram feeds, like they're going to look at you and obviously just be like, oh, like, you know, whatever, funny fat dude doing jokes or whatever. And it's like, you know, there is a, clearly you are, I mean, yes, you are that, but then you're also more than that. And so it's like, you're just, you know, a face in the crowd. Whereas like, if there's any work put towards like, who is this person and who, like, where did they come from? Then you start to obviously buy into, you know, what it is you are putting forth. And you're like, oh, yes, like he can make jokes about, you know, being fat because he is like completely like not only self-aware, but like understanding, like he's doing this because he's trying to normalize the fact that, you know, maybe people shouldn't bully people. Just like all of that, like kind of leads into the what you're talking about, just the context that needs to be built around people.
Yeah. It's like, why is that the one body shaming thing we're all still cool with?
Right.
Yeah. You know, totally. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And it's just weird to have to like rely on, or not rely, you know, whatever. I'm still out there pushing, but you know, you're hoping for a viral clip.
Yep.
And it's like, that can't be the only way.
Right.
Like I refuse to accept that. And I don't know if that makes me, it makes it better or worse, but it's just like, there's got to be enough people out there that like want authenticity. Or,
you know what, listener, I care a lot about merch and you should as well. And you should go to rockabilia.com and use this promo code 100 words or less. That's the number 100 words or less to get you 10% off of your entire order. And that's what's incredible about this particular site. Not only are they hooking this show up with a promo code, but they have so many different bands where I don't care if you're into like, you know, Black Sabbath, like Grateful Dead, Bring Me the Horizon, Machine Gun Kelly. Like I'm just listening a bunch of random bands across all genres because they sell officially licensed merch from all of those bands and artists. That means the bands get paid. You get high quality merch shipped directly to you from a awesome warehouse in the Midwest, like I'm putting on some weird accent. Anyways, jokes aside, I love this company. I think what they do is incredibly important because they are a beautiful aggregator of all things merch related. And you know how much I love merch. I just love talking about Rockabilly as well, but go to their website, rockabilly.com. You will shop to your heart's content. You will put a bunch of stuff in your cart. You will check out and you will use that promo code 100 words or less. It tells them that we sent you, not some other podcast, not some other magazine. I mean, who really reads magazines anymore? Secret, I do. But beside the point, this is obviously a very rambling ad read, but this ad read is, it's genuine. It's from the heart. I want you to go to that website and use the promo code 100 words or less. So go use that and shop to your heart's content. Rockabilly.com. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different things that stress us out, right? Like maybe it's something really, really small, like, man, that parking space, it's always taken. And I wish that I would be able to like get it instead of, you know, this person that maybe, you know, is the most courteous and considerate. I know that's something very random, but it's true. We all experience different things throughout the day that trigger us in so many different ways. And there are many times where I have been like, I wish that I had a spot or a repository for me to, you know, get this stuff off of my chest. Because if you bottle it up, that is no bueno. And then all of a sudden you explode on a coworker or a friend or a family member being like, the parking spot. And people are like, what are you talking about? That is where therapy comes in. And I love working with BetterHelp because I'm a huge advocate for therapy, broadly speaking. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, please give BetterHelp a try. It is so easy because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire and then you get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you are not vibing with the therapist for any reason, you can switch it out at no additional charge. Get things off of your chest with BetterHelp. So visit betterhelp.com/ray today to get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/ray. You know, kind of taking you back to, you know, when you were, did you actually grow up in Long Island or did you come up somewhere else?
I grew up on Long Island. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And
LIHC.
Of course, you know, I'm sure you're familiar. I toured in bands for years and played, the beautiful Backstreet Blues Club in the early 2000s.
Hell yeah. With Christian McKnight, right? Christian McKnight.
Oh, of course. Concert. Yes. Yeah. Shout out to Christian doing the Lord's work in Long Island.
Still doing it.
I know, exactly. But the something that's always struck me, and I know like once I became familiar with obviously Long Island hardcore and everything else that came around it, it was always the point of pride that still exists, obviously, for bands like, you know, Koyo and everybody else that has come from that area, where it's like, no, we're really different than New York. So like, pay attention to us. And like, did you feel like when you started to like go to shows and stuff like that, did you feel that proverbial, I guess, like chip on the shoulder with Long Island being like, hey, we're different than New York?
No, I don't know. I do with comedy. I definitely do more.
Okay.
I don't know. I always, and like my little crew, we always, you know, we were in the city easily as much as we were on Long Island. Like we were, you know, CB's and Coney Island High and the Continental and, you know, I mean, whatever, I could name a million places, the Bank and Tramps. And,
sure.
Brownies. So we were in the city all the time. And like one of my first high school style jobs was a record store in St. Mark's. So I've always been like, I don't know. I've always been just like hanging around the Lower East Side. So I never really was like us first them or anything like that. I know there are some, there is a definitely a contingent of Long Island folk that do not leave Long Island, but sure. I never identified with those people. Like that we are not akin.
Right. For sure. And what was your initial entry point? Like, I mean, because did you have, you know, older brothers or sisters showing you stuff? Or was it just kind of like permeated throughout, you know, junior high and high school? How did you get into the stuff?
So here's a crazy story. I, in like fifth or sixth grade, and I could have details wrong because this is, you know, 1778.
Right.
But in like fifth or sixth grade, me and this kid, Josh Feigelman. He was like a little skate rat kid. We had a music teacher. I think her last name was Rinaldi. Or she was somehow related to Lee Rinaldi, I think is his name, from Sonic Youth.
Oh, okay.
And she was like, she just recognized something in me and him. Like, she just recognized, like, a counterculturalism in the two of us. And she was like, hey, this is my cousin, I think cousin. This is my cousin's band's tape. And she gave us Daydream Nation.
Wow. Wild.
In, like, fifth or sixth grade.
Yeah, that's a lot to, like, wrap your brain around.
Yeah.
Like, you were connected with something that could be, yeah, wow, that's wild.
Yeah, and we didn't, you know, we didn't understand the ramifications of that. We were just like, oh, cool. And, like, I was like, yo, what the fuck am I hearing?
Yep.
And then it just kind of, you know, it just snowballed. Like, I just got into punk and metal and all that noisier indie rock stuff and... yeah, and then just like slowly but surely, you know, I was lucky enough, smart enough, I don't know what the word is, I was able to like recognize people with cool eclectic tastes.
Okay.
And so like coming up, there was like dudes like this kid Bradley Farrell who like ended up, you know, opening a tattoo shop and like being like cool like that. He like got me into like Elvis Costello and like also Antioch Arrow and this dude Ron Grimaldi, who's like a local like legend guy. He got me into like Jehu and Pitchfork, and like it was just like I was just lucky enough to be open-minded, and I think it was because of this woman, this music teacher, who just like, I don't know, recognized the spark in the two of us idiots. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, it just went from there, man. It was just like, I don't know. I guess I point to that. I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if there was something earlier than that. I mean, my sister
has your memory,
Van Halen,
right?
Vinyl or sure. Kiss vinyl. I don't know if like would listening to Kiss and Van Halen make you open to that stuff? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think
it was Sonic Youth, man.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I like also the fact, like, you know, you named just such a diverse set of bands. And I think that that's what is really special as you start to get introduced to this stuff is, you know, you're just a kid and you're drinking it in. And like, you can only differentiate between, in your mind, what is good or bad. And there's nothing really in between. It's like, either like it or I don't like it. And you don't care about anything else besides, you know, it's not like, you're aware of scene politics or like this band's cool, this band's not cool, it got a bad review here or whatever. It's like, you're just like, this is good. I like it.
I don't know. I never believed in the theory, like the guilty pleasure theory.
Mm-hmm.
Like I always felt like, well, if I think it's cool, it's cool.
Right.
Like if you think I'm cool, I'm cool. Like that's it. So, like, I wasn't like, oh, if I listen to, you know, Youth of Today, I can't also listen to Elton John or, like, whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
You were very open to that. Yeah, and I think that's, to your point, too, just, like, your openness was, you know, that was circumstantial, but then also the fact that like you kept traveling down, like you were trying to find more, whatever that may mean, whether that's, you know, linking up with a music teacher or obviously just like trying to find other people that were into stuff that could, you know, maybe point you in a direction that you hadn't been privy to before.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's cool because that's obviously like to your point, that really gets you into the, you know, reading thank you lists and all that sort of stuff.
Because that was the only way, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like that was
totally
the only way. Like, you got, like, a DRI album, and you were like, oh, this band's sick. And you just, like, How do I find out more bands like DRI if I don't know someone who's into DRI? Fortunately, I was able to like poke my head around, you know, and there was like Headbangers Ball at the time. And so there was like a little other ways, but then like you always go to that thank you list. You always go like, you know, when I got that Heroin LP, like I had to go to the thank you list, and it's like, what bands are they thanking? Like, I should check out those bands. There's a reason those bands fuck with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason Thursday and Take It Back Sunday fuck with each other, and yep. it's not because they sound the same. They don't.
No,
you know what I mean. But it's like totally. There's like a commonality, a common what's the word? I can't think of the word.
It's okay. A common thread, we'll call it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so when you were in school and obviously just, you know, being a kid, and everyone, I presume, especially of comedians, where it's just like, oh, either you were the class clown or you were the people that, you know, you were the person that everybody ignored and like you just kind of, you know, like did your funny stuff in front of family or whatever. What side of the spectrum would you find yourself falling on? Were you the guy that was always...
I was a troublemaker. I was a troublemaker. I was recently backroom diagnosed with ODD, obstinate defiance disorder.
Okay.
So I just had a problem with being told what to do, and a problem with like falling in line, and like it just never happened for me. It was never gonna happen for me. I was miswired early on, and school wasn't it, man. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want anyone talking to me. I didn't want to listen to being what I was told. I didn't want to show up. I didn't want to do the work, And then I would occasionally find something I gave a shit about, and I would apply myself, and people would be like, oh, see, all you have to do is apply yourself. And it's like, yeah, well, give me a reason to do that. I'm a fucking child, you know, like you guys are supposed to be the smart ones. Fucking figure it out for me, you know, like I have a hard time paying attention when I read. So like, I'm dumb. I don't think that's it.
Right. You're like, I just need help. You got to point me in the right direction. I can't grasp the straws.
Like 20 years later, you give me a pill and I'd be able to read longer, you know? But right now, I'm just fucking out here fucking raw-dawing books. It's like...
Totally. You're like, listen, I can't read The Great Gatsby, dude. This is way too long.
Like, I can't even like listen to like podcasts, really, like my attention span, like... Like 6 minutes in, I start like someone will say something, and I'll just start thinking about that thing, and then I'll be like, "Oh wait, what are they talking about now?"
Right.
And it's like you want me to read what? You want me to read Crime and Punishment? Get the fuck out of here!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm not gonna mess with Dostoevsky.
I never read a book. Name a book. I'll tell you if I read it. I never read it.
You're like straight up hard pass on books. Got it.
Yeah.
And so when you started to, you know, go to shows, because I know, like, I mean, Sons of Abraham started playing, like, I mean, you guys formed, like, 96-ish or so, roughly, or no?
I feel like we were together for, like, 6.5 hours.
Right, right. But, I mean, a very productive 6.5 hours, though.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think, well.
But I always think back, people, like, try, like, because you try to, like, put stuff in order, and I'm like, oh, it was, like, during this time, so it must have been, like, these years. And it's, like, every time I try to do that, I'm like. It was 1 month. It was Christmas vacation 1 year.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
and that, to be completely fair, especially like as you get older, like that time frame just becomes so, you're just like, dude, I can't believe I did that in like you said, you know, an evening or like 6 months or whatever. Yeah. I guess the only reason that like I bring Sensei Abraham up is like, I mean, not only because I enjoyed your output, but I just think it was like, it was around that time where, you know, people across the country, broadly speaking, I mean, me being from Southern California, it was like just starting to pay attention to what was happening in Long Island. Like I was already obviously aware of VOD because they came out here, like, oh my gosh, like all this cool stuff, whether it's like Sensei Abraham, you know, Inside, Glassjaw, like all this stuff. And it was like, oh, and then here's this really interesting, you know, metallic hardcore band that sings from a Jewish point of view. I'm like, that's wild. And so, and when I say wild, like that's just like cool because all that stuff can exist. So, I guess the point of me bringing that up is just like the, did you feel compelled to, I guess, play in a band as you started to go to shows, or is that something you kind of like had to work your way up to?
No, I think, yeah, once I started discovering it, once I discovered like punk and like basement scenes and stuff, I was like, I wanted to start a band. I wanted to be in a band. I did like something like, I did like a high school, like one show thing. We like covered Fugazi and like no one understood what we were doing. And then like a year later, I started a band called, or me and some guys started a band called Tetsuo. And then, then I was just kind of like hooked. Then I just wanted to like play and tour. And then Irony of Lightfoot like actually started touring. We toured with Inside. And then it was like, that was a wrap for me. Once I left the Northeast to like go play shows and like meet people and meet bands and like see what else was out there in the universe, it was like, that was it. There was no turning back. I always point to this one time. I was in like right around when that lady gave me Sonic Youth. I saw Motley Crue was on the cover of some magazine. It was like in my middle school library. And it was like Tommy Lee and Nikki Sixx just like showing off their full sleeves. And I was like, I want that. I want to do all that. Whatever they're doing, I want to be doing what they're doing.
Okay. Got it.
And I didn't really understand what it was they were doing. And then, like, as I learned about music and then as I started touring, I was like, in the back of my head, I was always like, oh, yeah, like, that's those dudes. Like, that's what they were doing. They were just, like, causing havoc around the country. Like, that's so fucking cool.
Sure. Sure. And I'm guessing because of the you immediately enjoying the tour experience, like you just wanted to try to pursue that, whatever that may mean.
Yeah, yeah. And then once my buddies, this band called Day in the Life, which is George from Mind Over Matter, and the bass player of DVD, the bass player of VOD's brother was in that band, and Josh DeMarco from Mind Over Matter, they asked me to come tour with them because like I had been touring, and they were like doing like a professional tour, like a real tour, like not basements, you know. And they asked if I wanted to like come. Like we didn't know it was tour managing at that point, but they wanted to know if I wanted to come out with them. And once I was like, oh, I can get paid to do this. Like I can like make a living. Like I don't have to like also work in a record store or also work at a pizza place. Like I can just tour.
Right.
Like that was it. That was like, I didn't even play in bands after that. I was like, yo, I'm out. Like,
right.
I just want to be.
Right. Did you like being, a front person? Like, did you like that aspect? I mean, one could obviously presume where it's the fact that, you know, now you are doing the same thing, except you are not getting up with other bandmates. Did you take to that naturally, or was that something that you had to, you know, I guess, like learn by doing?
I definitely took to it naturally. There is a little bit of a silliness to it that I kind of always feel like, even still, like there's like a silliness where it's like, what the fuck are we doing right now? Like,
yep.
Like, I gotta, like, I don't know. It's just, like, there's, like, an element of, like, what is this? But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's, like, part of it. Maybe that's part of why it's okay with me. Because, like, it is silly. And, like, I can take things. I can take a silly thing seriously. I can really work on this fart joke.
Right. Like, yeah, you're like, I'm going to hone this perfectly.
Yeah, like, is it a fart or is it the fart? Or is it farts? Maybe it's farts.
Yeah.
Like, no, 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 it's not farts. It's a fart.
Like, sure, sure.
What are we talking about?
Yeah. No, I understand. Listen here. EvilGreed.net is an incredible merch company. They have web store solutions for bands and record labels of all shapes and sizes. The thing about them is they have a very specific point of view. If you listen to this show, I can guarantee that you will go to their site and find at least 17 different things to put in your cart and shop. I love this company so much. They're based in Berlin, Germany. They ship worldwide. The exchange rate is very much in our favor right now here in the United States. I've ordered from them before. They've shipped stuff out. I've gotten like 8 or 9 days. It's incredible. So let me just list some of the bands that they work with, whether it's Nails, Drug Church, 200 Stab Wounds, Brutus. I love them so much. Like, you can kind of see the theme that they're going for. I like to call it artistic heavy stuff, which I know is not exactly like the catchiest, you know, marketing phrase or whatever. But they also work with a ton of record labels like, you know, Flat Spot, Triple B Records, Other People Records. It is a very specific point of view. They kind of act like a record label in a way. But I love the company so much. They've supported this show for a long period of time. And in turn, I want you to point your web browser to evilgreed.net and go shopping. I know that I have spent probably like at least 2 or 3 hours just poking around, having a lot of fun on that site. And I know that you will too. So evilgreed.net and go buy some merch.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The experience of just like putting out records and like doing merch and stuff like that. You know, I'm going to put this in very large air quotes as far as like the business side of music is concerned. Did you enjoy that aspect of it as well? Or was that something again that you had to like, you know, kind of like learn by doing and learn how to, you know, like care somewhat about that?
Wait, what do you say it again? I'm sorry.
No. It's okay. I was just saying, like, the business side of bands.
Oh,
you know?
No, I'm terrible. Okay. Holy fuck, I'm so bad, dude. I was on a podcast talking about this not too long ago. Punk rock made it where, like, I don't even know my worth. You know what I mean? Because it's like, yo, come play so-and-so. And I'm like, yo, that sounds dope. And then, like, I don't even ask, like, I don't ask where I'm staying. I don't ask how I'm getting there. I don't ask what I'm getting paid. You know what I mean? And it's like, now I'm starting to get that a little bit better at that, where I'm like starting to advocate a little bit, but it's still fucking weird. And like, I just have a hard time with it sometimes. And like, I hate being like, I don't want it to seem like I'm unappreciative of what I'm being offered or given. Where I'm like, oh, well, could you charge less or could you give me more?
Right. Right. You're like, this isn't – so you're charging $10 and you're giving me $15 and there were like 100 people that showed up. Something seems off.
Yeah. It's like, well, you should have charged my friends way less to get in. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I would do instead of just being like, oh, I should just – don't I get like – should I get like 70%?
Like, right.
What part of this was me?
Yeah.
And I don't really, I'm bad at, I'm fucking terrible at that. But fortunately, like, as I'm going, more and more people around me are good at that. Adulting. So,
so you feel protected in some capacity.
In some capacities. It is funny, though, because, like, I'll have some people in my life, like Liz Mealy, or, like, comedian Liz Mealy, or this comedian Abby Wishuda, who are, like, these women I'm tight with. They'll be like, well, did you see the contract? And I'd be like, nah, it's like, it's my homie. It's like, whatever. Like, yeah, but you, like, there was obviously a contract, right? And I'm like, what? No, I don't know, man. It's just like a thing. Like, we just said we would just do it. And like, yeah, but there's going to be money. Like, you.
Right.
And I'm like, nah. I'm like, nah. And they're like, you got this far in life without. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I have been fucked over. Oh, yeah. Right.
It was like, good point. I didn't mean to sign away all my rights in perpetuity for the universe. Whoops. Yeah, I didn't mean that.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I have been fucked over.
Right. And when you started to, you know, tour with, because I mean, I know you went out with, like, you know, Taking Back Sunday and Motion City Soundtrack, and, you know, you were probably doing some versions of what they would call, like, a tour manager or merch or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you like that aspect? I mean, I know you like touring, but did you like that aspect where it's like, oh, I don't have to play, but I just have to focus on the one thing I'm here to do, whether that's, you know, driving, loading in, or whatever?
Yeah, I definitely love that stuff. I would do it again if I didn't have any other options. I would probably do that again. But there's I do prefer not working for anyone.
Right.
I do like that.
Right. Being able to call your shots.
I just want to have fun. I'm old and I'm dying soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to have a good time.
Okay.
And like, I don't want to fucking have to, like, I don't know. There's definitely pros and cons to it, but.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, like, some people would argue, you know, like, stability, peace of mind, like, you know, but those things are overrated sometimes, right, Neil?
I get emotional.
No, listen, we are allowed to express our emotions as adult males. This is a safe space, so, you know, you can express it however you'd like, sir. Something I'm curious about in regards to, like, more so on the, obviously, like, the comedy booking side of things, like, you know, when you're doing, you know, multiple, you know, dates, and obviously doing, like, here's the 7 o'clock and here's the 9 o'clock, and, you know, we're doing 5 shows in whatever, 2 days or what have you. I'm sure there's a very different energy between, you know, maybe like the 7 o'clock show versus like the 9:30 show or whatever. Do you notice a kind of ebb and flow as you do that stuff, or is it kind of just like head down, you're doing the work?
There's a little head down doing the work. I will say, as I get better, there is less of a variation. I think that, you know, when you're newer to it, when it's the first time you're doing 6 shows in 3 days, or, you know, whatever, 8 shows in 3 days or whatever it is, when like the first time you do that, there is like an exhaustion, and I think that goes away over time, like as you build the muscle. There is a difference in the audience, though, because a 9 o'clock Friday or a 10 o'clock Friday night, most of these people have been up since 6 a.m They worked a full day, they got home, they fought with their kids, and they've been drinking since 7. And now they're showing up to your thing where they have to have 2 more drinks at 10 o'clock. They're tired. They're drunk.
Right.
They're done. Whereas, like, the 7 o'clock, these people just got out of work, and they're a little bit more like, let's have fun. Saturday, you generally don't get that much of a variation between the 7 and the 10, because it's like, you know, people who go to the 10 start drinking later. People who go to the 7 start drinking earlier. It's like when you have dinner, you know. But yeah, Friday night, the late show is usually a little bit more rowdy or wild or less respectful. But yeah, I mean, that's just, that's a broad stroke kind of
assessment. Course. Right.
But yeah, I mean, just I think as you do it, as you experience it, like every other muscle, you know, I'm more prepared for it. I'm less surprised by it.
Sure, sure. And that, I mean, and that's really the space that you want to be in, where it's like you're able to, you know, roll with any surprises that do come up. Yeah. But it's all within the realm. It's all within the realm of like, oh, okay, I've handled this before in some capacity, as opposed to like, oh, I've never dealt with a, you know, streaker or whatever.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and then and it moves along, right? Like my first, like this really was like my first weekend of like just all headlining, like just me, and like me, like everyone at the show was someone that came to see me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, that was a first. And so like, there were stresses there that I assume will go away as I work. And, you know, the first time I sell a theater, I'll be like, this is crazy. And then the 100th time I'll be like, this is run of the mill. And I see peers or people just above me doing a 1500 person room. And I'm like, oh my God, that would be so wild. And then I'm sure once I start doing that, it's a lot less wild, you know? First time I opened for Motion City, I was like, this is going to be awful and crazy. And like, they're going to be noisy and it's going to be impossible. And then after 45 days with them, I'm like, yeah, I'll open for any band. I don't give a fuck.
Right. Yeah, you're like, I got this.
Yeah, like this is, you know, this is just a day at the office now, man. Like, let's go.
Right, you know? Right.
Like those Taking Back Sunday holiday shows, people did not want me there at all. did not care. But it's just like, put your head down. I'm up here for 12 minutes. Ignore the fucking chatter. Tell your dumb jokes. Get off stage and have fun with your friends.
Right, right. Exactly. It's like, hey, there's a reason I'm here. I'm invited. I'm not just like crashing the stage, guys. Like, deal with it.
Yeah. It'll be over before you know it. Just
right.
Go grab a beer.
Yeah, totally. We'll just talk about farts for 10 minutes. We're good. The idea that, you know, most comedians now, like what we were talking about in regards to, you know, being able to be delivered algorithmically to, you know, prospective fans and stuff like that. Like, obviously you have to lean into crowd work, you know, that's like where you're like, I can't, you know, quote unquote, waste my good material on anything on TikTok or whatever. I'm sure there's all these calculations of like, you know, the good and the bad and everything in between there. Do you, you know, I know you participate in that, obviously. Is it, you know, do you find yourself being like, I wish that I could just like unplug from certain aspects of this? Or is it like, no, it's kind of like a game and I have to figure it out?
Sure. There's a game aspect. What I'm about to say should be behind a paywall. I have very strong philosophies on that stuff. I think that burning material ideal is a pro club propaganda meant to keep independent comedians down. I do not believe in it. The worst case scenario, the absolute worst case scenario, is 18 million people see your 18 second joke on TikTok. Those people are still going to go see your show.
Sure.
You can still do that 18 second joke.
Right.
And that is something that we are fed by clubs and industry to prevent us from moving ourselves forward. And I will not partake.
Right.
I do not believe in burnt material. A. B. Crowd work, I don't understand why you would ever post something where you are not the funniest person in the video.
Sure.
I don't get it. it teaches both comics and audiences bad behavior. It's nuts to me. I will always be the funniest person in this engagement. And if I am not, I am deleting this. I am not putting that out there. That is not a good advertisement for what I am selling.
Right. It's a good point.
But again, yeah. These are my philosophies. These are not.
Of course.
Clearly, people disagree with me. People are putting up trash.
Right. Yeah. And then they hope that trash will then, you know, get them, you know, five more people at their show, and that will just like cycle through, and, you know, they won't even care about that person next time they come through.
But like, do they even care? Like,
I know. It's true. It's true.
Is that like, I hate to be like, we're punks, so we're cooler than everyone else, but we are. Because these people, like, these comedians or internet celebrities that post these things where they're not the most interesting person in the thing, they're also not trying to, like, go do anything. Right? They're, sure, like, trying to just build their product, but their product isn't the live performance. Their product is, like, their ability to influence, their ability to, like, sell you something on the internet, their ability to, like, you know, I want more followers so I can get a discount code for Vrbo. Like,
sure.
I'm not trying to do – I'm trying to sell the live show. I want you to come interact with me in person, come to a show, have a great night out. Forget that, like, your job sucks. Forget that your fucking kids hate you. Like, forget that you have bronchitis. And just have a good fucking time. Like, that's the product I'm selling. And so I'm going to do it, like, if I have 150,000 followers on the internet that want to come see me live, I'm going to go see them live. I'm going to go meet them. I don't understand, like, someone who would build that fan base and then not be touring it, you know, or like what are you waiting for? And this is a very specific kind of people, because a lot of stand-ups that I consider contemporaries or in the class above me, like classes above me, they are touring comics. They're using the internet as a sales tool. But I see some people that, like, pop off on the internet and then they're like doing one weekend a month, and it's like, what are you doing? What was the point of all this?
Sure. Yeah. There's a reason I'm asking this, because it's like, there is that, I mean, every comedian comes at, you know, comedy with a different point of view, but like but clearly there is like that through line of the comics that, you know, are just like, okay, I'm using this as a stepping stone to, you know, develop my acting career, to be an influencer or whatever. And it's like, you know, then there's the people who obviously care about the craft and are just like, yeah, I'm going to work clubs the rest of my life, and that's fine if I never do a theater. Like, whatever. It doesn't matter. Like, there are people here and they care about me, and that's what I care about.
I mean, there's different colors of success, and there's different, like, you know, there's no, like, roadmap or blueprint or whatever, you know. And, like, the goalposts have been taken down completely at this point. But, I don't know, for me, it's always been, like, I want a tour.
Right, like, that's your ultimate goal.
Yeah, like, I don't understand. I don't know. I guess I'm answering the question myself right now. Like, you know, they just have different goals. But that's my goal. And when I see people with, like, it's like, it's just like watching someone waste privilege, you know, like when you meet like a hot white girl with like a real rich dad who does everything for her, and then she like isn't backpacking across Europe, you're like, what are you doing? Like,
totally.
what is even the point? Resources. Yeah,
right.
Why are you not like in China right now just fucking exploring?
Right. It's like you clearly have the space to do that and the money to do that. Why don't you? Come on. Yeah. The line for people like you and me, for you putting out something with Equal Vision, and then obviously the work that you've done previously with Enjoy the Ride, it makes a whole lot of sense. I'm sure it just applies back to the principle of like, yo, if people want to party with me, like obviously I want to party with them. And so like, was it, I guess, kind of weird and exciting for you to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to put out a record through Equal Vision and, you know, I'm technically
surreal,
labeled.
Dude.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I'm labeled mates with Bane. Like, it's cool.
Surreal, dude. Like I wanted to be on EVR in like 2001.
Sure.
Yeah. You know? And it's like, Dan came out to like a show. Where was it? Dan came out to a show in Connecticut. And I'm talking to him, and he's like basically like saying like, yeah, we want to be involved. And I didn't even get it. It didn't make sense. I called Dubin, who, like, you know, he's like my de facto manager, you know, because he's like,
yep.
he gets the shit and he looks out for me, and I don't get this shit. So I called Dubin. I was like, yo, I just had this meeting with Dan, like, you know, or he knew. He was like, how did it go? And I was like, oh, it was like cool. It was like, you know, like we're boys, so we're just like catching up and stuff. And like, you know, he said this, this, and this. And he's like, yo, dude, like he wants to put out the special. And I'm like, what? That doesn't even make sense. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, no, he's just going to like do the vinyl if we do vinyl. He's like, no, dickhead, listen to the fucking words you just said to me. And I'm like, oh, oh. Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. What the
right.
fuck?
You're like, okay,
and then
cool.
Like, yeah. And then everyone I talk to is like, wait, they do comedy? I'm like, now they do?
Right.
I don't know, do they?
Yeah, you're like, if the person comes from the hardcore scene, they do? Hell yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know.
Well, it's like, I mean, I think it's fun because obviously it exposes you to an audience that, you know, is like can trace your lineage of being like, oh yeah, like I've, you know, been around and I'm obviously like a punk and hardcore kid, but then it gives Equal Vision the ability to have a foothold in something that they haven't dabbled with. And so it's like, it works, you know, as a two-way street for both of you.
Yeah. And I also think that like me, if I'm a success story, then they can brag. They can be like, yo, we can fucking do anything.
Right. Like, totally.
Like, what's the project you want to work on? We can do anything. And Dan, I mean, Dan's like, you know, he's like, he's fucking as genuine as they come. So, like, I mean, I've heard him say more than once, like, he just wants to do cool shit with people he likes.
Yep.
So it's like, whatever the project is, whether it's like reissuing a cool old hardcore record or a documentary about Bane or a comedy special, like, he just wants to, like, do cool things with cool people. And, like, you know, EVR is, like, one of those things that, like, well, if it's with EVR, then it's cool. So, you know, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, of course, of course. The last thing I want to hit on was the idea of, like, what I was talking about in regards to, you know, comedians having, not everyone, but comedians having some sort of end game in regards to like, okay, I want to use this to, you know, parlay into this. Like, do you have, and it's okay if you do, like, this is not meant to shame you in any way, shape, or form, but like, you know, do you have aspirations to be like, oh, dude, it would be sick to, you know, do a movie. Like, I would like to do acting. Or is this, you know, really the lane that you want to, quote unquote, stick in, you know, good or bad?
It would be sick to collaborate on like writing a movie or writing a sitcom. That would be sick. But that is definitely not the goal. That would be like a cool side project for this motherfucker, you know?
Right. Like,
the real shit for me, the real move is I want to be able to do what I am doing right now without the stress and fear of one thing derailing it.
Mm.
Like I got rear-ended in Nashville like a year ago.
Okay.
And it was like, it put like a month's worth of touring in jeopardy because like I didn't have the resources to recover from that, you know? And so I just want to be in a position where, like, if fucking Bricks can't let me stay with him in Louisville, I'm not like, fuck, I don't know what I'm going to do this week.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like, I could just be like, oh, yeah, I'll just get a hotel. It's no big deal. Like, it's cool. Like, I'm selling three shows out. Like, it's all right.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And right now I'm not there.
Sure.
You know, like right now, like I was supposed to stay with my pal in Nashville, and then they were like, oh, I got to go away for the week. And I was like, oh.
Damn.
Fuck.
Right.
Like, this is like last weekend's money is now spent on hotels.
Right.
Like that I would like to not
stress about. Sure.
Right. Yeah. Right. But I'm not, you know, I'm not like a money guy. I'm not like, oh, I need money to be happy. I need money to not be stressed out all the time.
Of course.
But I'm not looking to break a bank. I'm like looking to just like have a good time on the way out. You know, like.
Of course. You're not looking for stacks on stacks on stacks. You're just looking for a stack.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I just like to like, not like, you know. There have been times in the past couple of years where I'm like, oh, I don't know where I'm staying tomorrow. Or like, I can't afford to go to the doctor today, you know? And it's like that I would like to not
have happen.
You know what I mean? Where like when my car finally breaks down, knock on wood, when my car finally breaks down, like I want to be able to like, it's time to get a new car.
Right.
And not be like, oh man, I hope someone can donate a car.
Totally. You're up there, like, you know, in between sets, like, as opposed to what bands used to do, where it's like, hey, does anybody have a place to stay tonight? Like, you're like, yo, has anybody got a new car? Anybody use good used car? Like, you know, something that could get me from point A to point B?
Can anybody co-sign a lease with me?
You're like, I don't have enough credit myself. So, like, come on, just act like a parent.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go over the miles, but I'll keep it clean.
Yeah. I promise we could resell it at some point. And I promise this is the last thing. I'm just curious from your own perspective, and there's no wrong answers here, but, you know, highlighting a band from Long Island, like not – they don't have to exist now, that is like completely, you know, just – under the radar, undiscovered, however you want to label it, something that gets like a, you know, a shout out from that side of things. Like the only reason I mentioned that is because mentioning a band like Inside in 2024, like no one knows who that band is, even though they're absolutely incredible and same as Dearly Departed. But is there something that
I'm not supposed to say, but they're having a reunion in July.
Oh, geez. That's good news.
That's a secret. So don't tell anyone.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways,
don't put it in the description.
I will. No, absolutely
not. You got to get to minute 56 to find that information out.
Listen, this is what they call a Easter egg at the end. So I very much appreciate that, but yeah, I won't put that anywhere. But, is there something that kind of sparks your mind of being like, oh yeah, like there's this, you know, this band that like no one saw except us 20 people on Long Island or whatever.
All right, so I'm going to say a couple bands here. I'm going to say Scapegrace is the greatest fucking Long Island band.
Whoa, haven't heard of them. Okay.
Scapegrace is so fucking sick. They were like incredibly underrated at the time. They were too short-lived. They did another project called La Magna afterward, which was equally as good. Scapegrace to me, like I named a band after them. I fucking love them. They just never got – they never did anything more than local, so it never really – blew up.
Sure.
I would be remiss to not talk about some newer stuff, right? Because like,
absolutely, hit it.
What's the point, you know, of having a platform and then just like, yeah, just listen to this 30-year-old band that like probably isn't on streaming.
Of course.
Family Dinner is a band that's like blowing up right now.
Oh, hell
that
yeah.
That are sick. Common Sage is awesome. They're another new band that's blowing up. Really cool dudes from Jersey, Modern Chemistry. I know they're like in the Taking Back Sunday family, so people might have heard of them a little bit, but I don't think that they get the credit they deserve. And they are like, they're one of the, and Green Room Hangs is like the most important thing to me. And the Green Room Hang with Modern Chemistry at the Taking Back Sunday holiday show was like one of my favorite Green Room Hangs in my entire life. Like those dudes were the most fun I've ever had. So Modern Chemistry gets a huge shout out. And then there's like tons of great Long Island hardcore bands coming up right now.
Yep.
Stand Still, Regulate, Dead Last, Heads Will Roll, and of course the fucking goats, Pain of Truth is just like,
oh yeah.
Crush. I don't know. I think they don't really claim Long Island. They say Northeast hardcore, but I want all credit for that band. They're fucking Long Island. They fucking rule. That band's tremendous. They deserve everything they fucking get, man. They are so fucking sick and so fun live. Just like such a great, fun, like this is what hardcore is supposed to be. Just fun.
Yep. No, I feel
and he's
you.
A sick. Michael Smith is a fucking sick frontman, and he's done some of the best shit I've seen live. Once there was like, you know, like there was like a pylon for the mic, and he like tossed the mic at the pylon, like kind of like faking scared of it, mm-hmm. like just tossed the mic at it, like backed up, like, and it was like no one noticed it but me, and it was the fucking funniest thing I've ever seen on stage. And then one time, he goes, this next song is my favorite song, and then threw the mic to somebody else and jumped into the crowd to mosh.
Oh, I love it. That's so cool.
Fucking brilliant. Yeah, those guys fucking rule. That band should be fucking everywhere. And then, not Long Island, but Long Island roots is Edict.
Sure.
My buddy Rich Caccioni, he was a Long Island kid. He moved to Rhode Island. He's in a band with dudes with from Bury Your Dead and Drop Dead, and they're like a sick hardcore band. I think they're on Undefeated, which might be EVR adjacent or distributed.
Yep, you're right.
So like we're kind of label mates, but he's that's a sick hardcore band. That they to me they sound like Moshy or Bloodlet. They're Ooh. Fucking sick.
All right, yeah, I love it. I've just heard the band name, I haven't listened to them. Well,
yeah, they're great.
There we go. That was Neil Rubenstein. And like I said, please check out his new stand-up special that came out on Equal Vision Records in regards to the audio side of things. I think they actually put it up on their YouTube as well, but link in the show notes. It's called Have Some Dignity. It's really, really funny. Well worth your time. Let's talk about what's happening next week on the show. I have Stephen McDonald, who is a punk legend, dare I say. I'm not even going to dare I say. I'm going to say it. I just said it. But he currently plays in the Melvins. He also is a founding member of the 80s punk band Red Cross that totally grew up during the, you know, Black Flag Descendants era, like when punk was really, really popping for the first time here in the States, in the California area. And then, he also has a ton of other credits to his name in regards to, you know, just playing with a bunch of different people, bunch of different bands. Also a producer, produced the first couple Fun records. So I talked to him about that. And also the format as well. Oh, it's great. But Steve McDonald, a dude that has layers. And I love it. So that's who we have next week. Until then, please be safe, everybody. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Trust me in saying that no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you. And how you manage them can make all of the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, You're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.